podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us. Before we jump in, you know, I don't do this every week, but I would love if you went over, left a review, left a comment. I listen to all of those. You know, give me some topics. Send over to steve@teachhoops.com. What kind of topics do you want to hear? But before we jump into today's topic, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I've tried them all, and this is not only how innovative are, but you know, the workouts and what I love about Dr. Dish is they give back to the community. If you follow them on Facebook, if you follow them on Twitter, they're always giving back to the basketball community. And you mentioned Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's resources, it's handouts, it's videos, it's one-on-one calls, it's office hours. It's a coach. It's a resource run by a coach for a coach. It's not an ex-coach, not someone that's been let go, not someone that's coaching part-time. This is what I do. And teachhoops helps me keep the bills on. It helps me put up these podcasts, 13 podcasts a week. YouTube's helps me be able to do that. And it's a roadmap for you to be successful. And let me help you in this great journey that we call coaching. But let's head off to the podcast.
Like, I know exactly. Nothing now. Like, swear to God. Like, I knew everything in my 20s. Are you kidding me? And now right. I feel like I don't know anything anymore. I know that's so true. What's one thing you've learned this week?
This week? I've learned not to try to explain the word quarantine to a four-year-old.
The four-year-old's not going to remember this. That's the good part about it.
Yeah, but even that conversation, just that, for the coaches out there, you know, you need to go in with a game plan. That was a major mistake. My son was very confused, frustrated, and we basically just had to end practice early, to use an analogy. We had to get out of that one.
It's funny, though. It's like I'm not – They're all going through different things at different levels. It's so bad. Like, do you have any kids in school yet?
No, just the one.
Okay. Cause that's the ones that my heart's breaking for the 7 to 11-year-olds. The ones that are learning just to read, the ones that are like, they're the ones that's like, but my heart just breaks for them because Drew's going to be fine. My sophomore daughter's going to be fine. They'll figure it out. But those kids that are just learning to love learning. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I feel so, and you can only do so much via Zoom. what would you tell your younger self?
Breathe.
Okay.
Slow down.
Slow down. Okay. That you don't know everything. I think we kind of answered that. If you could talk to one coach for an hour, living or dead, 1 hour in a room, who would you talk to and why?
I'll answer pretty quickly. I would say John Wooden, and I know that's probably very cliched and probably a lot of people have used him. I was very lucky at Davidson to coach with, as I mentioned earlier, and to be at that program. And we had a chance to play in the Hall of Fame Classic, I think it's called, out in Anaheim. And this was right before Coach Wooden passed. And I got to see him at a dinner. I didn't speak to him, but just, you know, having read his books over the years, having been in the same room, even if it was from a distance, I've just always had obviously an incredible amount of respect and admiration for all of his, you know, writings and his teachings and his philosophies. So I would probably go there first and say John Wooden.
Okay. I would give you an A on that, Coach, because that tends to be a really hard question for, because there's a lot of really good coaches. So I give you an A on that. What have you seen as a biggest change since you started playing in the game of basketball?
That's a great question too. I guess the easy answer or quick answer would be, it was interesting. I'm going to do a shameless little plug for Connecticut College, but you know, we've struggled our basketball program over the last few years prior to getting here. And, you know, I'm you know, I know we've talked in person, but I'm excited to try to turn that around. But in 1998-99, Connecticut College was the number one team in the country. I actually got to 27-0 at one point and lost in the Final Four of Division III. So there is some history here of great success. And where I'm going with this is I actually watched their Elite Eight game where they played Trinity, who's another conference member. A friend of mine cut it up for us and shared it on the computer. And so I watched the game. And Steve, what's amazing is the spacing of the game is so different. And this is when I played in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, two post players, you know, guys inside the arc. You just don't see the spacing that you see now in almost all levels. And, you know, just the prevalence of even like high-low post play and things like that were so much greater, you know, 20, 25 years ago. So I think that would be one I would immediately, you know, point out. I think just the spacing on the floor, the way coaches align their offenses especially has changed. I'd also say to the way the game is officiated, right, I think there's probably less contact. So that sort of opened things up for more freedom of movement, right, which is sort of the terminology.
Wow, I'm moving to the East Coast with the less contact. It's gotten more physical. Well, but I'm also in the Midwest football stadium. It's like a football match here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it's all relative. I think there's still a lot of contact in the game. And you're right. I've played games in the Midwest, you know, different programs out there where, yeah, it's a rock fight.
It's a rock fight. Yeah. When is the line officially moving back? I know it's supposed to this year, right? But it didn't happen.
They gave D2 and D3 a moratorium. So they gave us an extra year. So it wasn't going to move back this year. I think they gave us – oh, no, that was last year. So I believe this year was a moratorium. And then next year – so what would that be, 21-22? Division III will have the deeper line.
And you think that will have any effect on the spacing?
We'll see. I mean, right. They kind of felt like it would, at the D1 level. I'm not sure it has. I don't necessarily believe that to be the case.
I have a theory. So I think the court's too small. I mean, the court hasn't changed and the bodies are getting bigger and stronger and faster. Mm-hmm. It almost needs to be wider. Like
I would go there too. I think the number of times that people step out of bounds in the corner, especially is.
I mean, the you're a 94 feet. We're an 84. Literally, high school. There should be like a new rule that any new high school gym should be 94 feet. Like should be,
right.
But the collegiate level, it's not wide enough. Like these bodies are so big now that like, and now that you're going to the new 3-point line. That corner is going to be, they're going to have about that much space in that corner. Which I think it's going to cause more issues if they could just widen another couple feet on the side. I think it would leave space for people to be able to create, but
you again, have my vote for that, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get rid of the jump ball. That's what I'm trying to get rid of. That's literally my sole purpose. I'm going to try to get rid of the jump ball. People, that's worse than the shot clock. Yes. No. In high school, when I brought up getting rid of the jump ball, people came after me. I go,
you would give all to the defense?
I'd give the ball to the visiting team. Done.
Okay.
And then you do alternating possession. The officials are horrible at throwing the ball up.
Saying the initial jump.
The initial jump. No. I just meant the initial jump. Okay. Then you go alternating possession after that. I'm talking, why do we do the initial jump?
Yeah, I've seen some really horrific ones.
One of my guys got called for a foul last year on the initial jump, which I've never seen. But yeah. The bigger issue is like, there's three guys doing our games and they're accountants. Like they're working all day and then they come do our games, but they don't practice throwing it up. Like when I was growing up, everything was a jump ball. They were pretty good at throwing the jump ball.
Yeah,
I just think it's a silly, archaic thing. People just like literally the thought I shot their
Steve, I'm with you. Let's give it to the visitors. Side OB gives you a special situation. Start the game.
It does. It makes you coach. Like, okay, so I've got it. I'm visiting, so it means I'm going to get it. So then it becomes that chess match, which I love. Like,
I like it.
We'll see. I'm going to start a movement on that. See if I get anywhere with it. All right. So I'm going to do my rapid fire. So my rapid fires, I'm just going to ask a question. It can be rapid. It doesn't necessarily have to be rapid. Sometimes they're a little bit longer. What is your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball you play with?
I love the Nike ball.
Oh, okay.
and I haven't used it in a long time.
And why do you like the Nike favorite. Ball?
I don't know. Just the feel of it. Probably my close second would be that I like the NCAA, the Wilson. But
the Wilson.
The Nike ball, I don't know. And this was back in like 2008, 9, 10. So
maybe. Feel. It's all about feel, I'm telling you. Do you have any superstitions?
No, not really.
Okay. One word to describe your ideal player.
Intense.
Okay. If you could go to one sporting event in the world anywhere, what would you go to?
Do I get to pick where?
Yep, anywhere.
No, probably like World Cup. Let's just say Italy. I love Italy.
I'm telling you, 1990, I graduated college in 89. My brother and I spent the entire summer backpacking through Europe, and we got stuck in Italy during World Cup, and Italy was playing. Oh, my gosh.
You lived my dream here. Okay.
It was like we were in some little mom and pop getting pasta or something. I remember this. And literally, we couldn't find anybody to pay. The game was on. They were just gone. Like, they gave us our food, and then they just left. Like, where are they? We just threw some money on the table and left. I don't even know. Whatever. If we ever even paid them enough at that point. But, yes, it was – we had to figure out our – well, we had a Eurail pass, so we had to figure out our train thing because it's like, oh God, they're playing in, you know, Florence. We got to go a different direction because we're not gonna find any place there. But yes, that would be it. Favorite pregame meal?
I've had so much chicken parm for some reason before games in my lifetime. I guess I just by default I'd go there.
Okay. What does your game day look like?
Game day, you know, it can depend, but primarily like a morning film session, walk through, shoot around, followed by, you know, getting off our feet, sort of relaxing, letting guys nap, do their thing, pregame meal as a group, particularly when we're home, but on the road as well. You know, we like to get guys out on the court early, let them go through their own personal routines. We only meet once as a team. I know teams like to go in and out. We only meet once as a team, and then
do you do anything specific as far as prep before that, like for games or anything? I mean, do you take a nap?
Oh, like me specifically?
Yeah.
No, not typically. Okay. I meditate, so I do that, and I go through my notes and things like that.
Coach K takes a nap. That's how I always use that with my wife. Because his theory is, I read this in one of his books. His theory was, you're the freshest when you wake up. So he wants to go home before a game and take a nap. And then he wakes up and he's like, it's like the morning. And then he feels like he's the sharpest. I don't know. It's worked well for me.
I'd have to use that. Yeah.
What's one thing you do to relax?
Meditate.
Okay. One coaching technique you consider important?
Asking questions.
Okay. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
In person. This is a tough one because I have to try to think of like the whole span of the career playing and coaching. Well, I can work backwards. I mean, I got to see, I mean, you counted me as a fan in like the mm-hmm. like at an NBA game. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to probably lose the whole audience here, but I go back to like early 2000s, I saw Jason Kidd leading the New Jersey Nets to the finals. They were playing the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. He was playing at an incredible level. I think he had, I want to say, like 20-something points, 19 assists, 16 rebounds. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen. I almost never saw anybody dominate a game really without looking to score like he did, and
right.
yet he had 20. I think people forget how good Jason Kidd was. So I don't know, that's probably gonna lose most people, but
that's good. What's the best basketball player of all time?
No, you can't win that one. I mean, I'll just be contrarian and just try to bother all the listeners and say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Here's the issue I have. People don't even talk about like Russell. He won like 10 championships.
Right. That's why I said Kareem. It's just sort of like, it's a wash. I mean,
it's a wash.
I think those top 10 are so good.
Michael's got 95% of the votes. I think the guy that's living in Wisconsin right now has a shot at it. Don't think he's there yet. He's still young. Has put some weight on. extend his shot a little bit. But Giannis is pretty good.
Pretty unique, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty unique. So we'll see. He's a hard worker, too, from everything I can tell. We already did that one. What one thing that helped you become a better coach?
Two things. Helping me become a better coach was getting married and then having a son. Like, both of those things in many ways really helped me gain perspective. And yeah, so I'd say those would be the two obvious ones.
I would say that. That's great. Best game you have seen in person?
Best game. Whew. That Eastern Conference final, I think it was a game six, was incredibly high level. I'd have to go, you know, the best game, and I'm going to really lose any fans I had left out by you. I think you might know where I'm going to go with this, is 2008 Sweet 16 Ford Field. You know, I was lucky to be on the Davidson staff, our game against Wisconsin. I mean, and what people didn't know at the time was, I believe the gentleman's name was Michael Flowers, who was the star defender for Wisconsin. I think he said something to the newspaper like, "Hey, I'm going to lock him up," referring to Steph. And I, you know, just knowing Steph, like, he was not, like, he's very quiet, but he was not happy to hear about that. And I'm pretty sure a coach might have mentioned that to him. He played out of his mind. I think LeBron James was at the game. It was one of those things where I'll obviously never forget that memory.
That's an easy game. Yeah,
The team played out of their mind. We had some great performances from some guys that came off the bench defensively. Like, we, and I have the utmost respect for Bo Ryan. I mean, that was an unbelievable Wisconsin team. We just played out of our minds, and defensively especially, which I don't think people realized how good defensively we were. And we had some guy, unsung heroes, that we doubled the post. And what was it? Brian Butch, I think, was on that team. They were loaded, but we played really well.
You did. You played really well that game. What's your favorite quote? I think you said it already, maybe.
I have a couple. I mean, okay. I really liked, you know, and this is stolen directly from another Midwesterner, like Urban Meyer and sort of the Kite brothers, or the Kite family, who, I don't know if listeners follow these guys, but it's just E plus R equals O. Event plus response equals outcome. It's a simple formula, and it's just something that we try to talk to our team about, is that, you know, especially in these times, like, we have very little control over external events or things that happen to us. So in that equation, the E plus the R plus the equals O, the only one you can circle is the R, which is your response. You don't control the events, you don't control the outcome. So that's been on my mind a lot lately, just because of everything happening, you know, in my conversations with our guys. It's in the forefront of my mind at all times. Just, you know, what can you do in this situation to deal with whatever you're dealing with?
And right. I love that. Best basketball coach of all time.
Yikes. Well, I guess I have to go with John Wooden.
You did say that. Usually that's – so the player is much faster. This one tends to hurt people, because it's like there's so many good basketball coaches all over the world, like, that we don't even know their names necessarily. It might be in Arizona coaching, you know, it doesn't matter. All right. One book you'd recommend.
Yeah. There's a book. I try to give books that are maybe outside the realm of maybe coaching or basketball. There's a book called Principles, written by a gentleman named Ray Dalio, D-A-L-I-O. And Ray ran a billion-dollar hedge fund on Wall Street, and he's now kind of in the twilight of his career. I think he stepped away from being the acting CEO of this company. And, you know, the biggest thing, you know, the book is called Principles, and it's essentially, it's a very thick read. I don't suggest reading it from cover to back, but it's a great resource. It talks a lot about companies and teams and organizations and just how they work. And one of the things I took away the most from it is, he has multiple things he talks about, but just this idea of being very transparent about, like, almost everything you do. So, you know, just sharing with everybody, like, what you're doing, why you're doing it, here it is. But, you know, but that's difficult for people to do, because sometimes it's negative and sometimes people don't want to hear it. So that's part of the general theme of the book. And then he's got a specific quote that I really like. It's this: pain plus reflection equals progress. And that one has always stuck with me. Pain plus reflection equals progress. So you go through some kind of pain, whether it's, you know, working out is physical or making a coaching mistake is mental, but the pain, reflect upon it. Okay, I could have done this X, Y, or Z better, and then progress. So just that whole concept of pain plus reflection equals progress.
It's the whole growth mindset thing. It's like, yeah, failure's okay. You know, you learn more right from failure sometimes. I love that. All right, so tell us a little bit about Conn College before we Connecticut sure. College. Just tell me a little bit. So give me the 2 minute. This is the last question. Give me tell me. I'm a 17-year-old and I'm thinking about coming to Connecticut College. What can you tell me and why should I come there?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, it's a beautiful place. Like, it's a physically beautiful place. Like, you and our location, I think, quite frankly, is one of the biggest draws to consider a Connecticut College. I mean, I don't know if you realize this, Steve. We are 90 minutes north of New York City. We are 90 minutes south of Boston, and we are right on Interstate 95. So I know that doesn't mean anything out in the West, but
it was easy. And then what was the campus that was right by you?
Coast Guard Academy.
Coast Guard Academy, yes.
The Coast Guard is right next to us. So we have the Coast Guard next door, which is beautiful. Yep. We are on the Thames River, not the Thames. It's the Thames, unlike England. Thames River, which is beautiful river. There's a naval base across the bank from our campus. And then on the south of our campus, the city of New London is a beautiful little city with lots of shops and restaurants. And it's actually a port city where you can take a ferry to Long Island and the northern tip of Long Island. So there's just a lot of fun stuff going around in the area. Mystic, Connecticut is right down the road. There's a famous aquarium there. So it's a really cool place. We're on the water. So if you like water and that environment, you'll love it.
Is your basketball thing across? Do I remember that right? Are you across the road?
So we have a beautiful campus on a hill, I would call it, where, you know, it kind of stretches north to south pretty long. We're only 2,000 students, but it's pretty big.
Yeah.
And then across we call it Route 32, and there's a walking bridge across it. Across that is our giant athletic facility, which, by the way, there are plans to renovate here in the near future. So, you know, so there's some exciting things going on there. You know, we talked about it before. I think it's one of the better leagues you can compete in at any level. We're kind of a mini Ivy League in many ways, academically, of course. And then the basketball is great. You know, every year we have seniors that go on and play overseas. So the level of play is very, very high. And the other reason I'd say, if people are listening, is, you know, we're at the ground floor of building what I hope is a very good Fortune 500, where we get this thing going. So,
right.
You know, our young guys now and the guys we're talking to, you know, I want them to know that they're going to be a part of building something hopefully special. And, you know, the deck is stacked against us. We were, as I said before, I'm not afraid to say this publicly, like we struggled last year. We finished in last place, but we're looking to change that. So it's a challenge. We want people who want to roll their sleeves up, but it's a beautiful place. I would quickly say that the education speaks for itself. I mean, the league does, but we have great resources. So what Conn College does, I think, particularly well because of our location, is we get people ready for their careers. We place kids in internships in New York City, Boston, you name it, our kids go there. And that's a big, big part of the experience at Connecticut College is, you know, trying to give kids that return on investment where they can get internships so that they're ready to be hired when they leave.
Great. Thanks for being on, Coach. I really appreciate it. I really
Steve,
do.
This was great. It's a pleasure to see you again. I wish you and Drew all the best.
I'll make sure I get up to a game at some point. I don't know how much coaching I have left in me, but we'll see. I got a couple years left, I think. But
yes. Well, judging from how prolific this podcast is, I think you got a lot of energy left.
I got lots of energy. I do have lots of energy. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, we love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.